Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon and welcome to U.S. National Politics. I'm your host, Chauncey Brown. Before we begin the show today, I want to send out special prayers to all of the family members and friends that lost loved ones to the pandemic COVID-19. I also want to send special prayers out to all the frontline workers, the gas station attendant, grocery store, the gal and girl at the gal and guy that packs our bags, the people at the pharmacy. We have to thank all of those people for trying to give us a normal life every day by putting their lives on the line, by servicing us. I want to say thank you to all of them. I also want to say thank you to, I want to send special prayers out, I'm sorry, to the Floyd family and all those who have lost loved ones to police violence. Conversely, in the midst of the recent protesting and violence, my prayers go out to the EMTs, to the police officers who lost their lives as well, to them and their families. You can follow U.S. National Politics on Twitter at U.S. Politics Today. You can also follow us on Facebook at U.S. National Politics. Our guest is the president of Latinos for Trump Organization. She hasn't arrived in the studio yet, Bianca Garcia. Bianca Garcia is the president for Latinos for Trump Organization, and she's the communications director for Blanco for Congress. Jamie Blanco is running for Congresswoman out of Texas. Mrs. Garcia also serves as an advisor for Blexit Texas and serves of the board of directors for Christian Engagement. Let me try to reach out to Ms. Garcia and see if there's a delay with getting her in the studio. Please stand by for a moment. Thank you. I hope, welcome back, audience. I hope that there is not a delay in time. She's in Texas. Trying to reach out to her now. Well, I don't know what happens. We'll try to wait a couple more minutes to see if she's going to come into the studio. I think that we might have a problem with the time change. I try to reach out to her by text. I'm going to try to reach out to her by phone as well. Would you please stand by 1 second, audience, and I really apologize for the inconvenience. Okay, audience, we were able to get Ms. Garcia on the phone. Yes, there was a lapse in time. She didn't realize it's 4 Eastern. I believe that she's in Texas, which is an hour difference. So she's going to be calling in shortly. I'm your host, Chauncey Brown, at U.S. National Politics. You can follow me on Twitter at RightTalkHost. You could also follow me on Facebook at RightTalkHost. Mrs. Garcia is in the studio, so we're going to bring her in live right now.
Hi,
hello, Ms. Garcia. Welcome to the show. Hi. I just explained to my audience, I realized that you might have gotten thrown off by the hour difference, so I inform my audience of that. So,
It sure did. It took me. It's okay. I should have read it more carefully and known that it was Eastern time and not my Central time. So I was like, okay, 4 o'clock, 4 o'clock, and then. I'm glad you called me to just make sure I got on the line. Thank you so much for the invitation.
It's a blessing to have you. Since we've only there's only been 6 minutes into the show, we're going to get right into things. You're the president for Latinos for Trump Organization. Let's talk about your organization, your movement. Talk about briefly who you are in a couple of minutes, and then we can get into your various positions and what you're doing as it relates to the 2020 elections.
So, first of all, I got involved myself. I'm an educated woman, and but I was been home, was taking care of my kids. But I got involved in the 2016 election because I felt it was really, really an important one. Obviously, I think it woke up a lot of people. And mainly, I was born and raised a Democrat, and so when Hillary Clinton was running around saying that there was no problems with the veterans administration and there was no problems with a lot of things that she was saying, I knew were completely wrong. And I knew that under the last 8 years of Obama, you know, Hispanic communities were not thriving. We were not prospering. Small businesses, we were being, overtaxed, overregulated. It was really hard for us to grow our businesses. So there was a lot of flaws in the proposals that the Democrats were giving us. Now, my mom actually had said to us, back when Obama was running, she literally referred to him as the Antichrist. She was like, Obama is the Antichrist, and we must now vote Republican. And we just thought she was old age, and she just, was getting some early signs of dementia because we voted Democrat all our lives. And so, but that wasn't the case. So anyhow, I got involved, and because of a lot of those different reasons. And when I got involved, we first started a coalition out of Texas, and we started to, pretty much connect with other movements, I should call them, throughout the United States, people in New York and Florida and California. And, there was Cubans for Trump, Latinos with Trump, Latinos for Trump, Latinos Trump Coalition. There was Hispanic Americans for Trump. I mean, there was like all kinds of movements, and no one would have known it because no one shed any light to it. No, we were completely suppressed. Our communities were suppressed. Mainstream media would give us, they wouldn't even dare give us any time, anywhere. So, I got involved. And so, of course, within our movement, I knew from being on the ground, just helping out, I knew that what the mainstream media was telling us was not the correct narrative from what I was seeing, the swell. I call it the swell on the ground and the support for President Trump. And so sure enough, there was a little doubt there, because of course they make you doubt. They're like, oh, he's nowhere going to win. He'll only get 9% or even 11% of the Hispanic community vote. And I was like, there's just no way. There's no way he's going to get. We'll get more than that. We'll get more than 25%. And everybody's like, no way. So they try to discredit that. But sure enough, we saw he pulled in 29%, almost 30% of the Hispanic vote. And I was like, I knew it. So from that point, once he got elected, about a week later, I got a call. And, when he was running around in campaign, he said he was going to create jobs. I had been a stay-at-home mom for 10 years, and I was, again, taking care of my kids. So I got a phone call from the Republican Party of Texas offering me a position. They offered me to become the Hispanic Engagement Director of the Republican Party of Texas, which was pretty big deal because there never had been a Hispanic woman that was, over a state director in the Republican Party of Texas. So it was a pretty big deal. So my whole family, I was like, well, he created a job already because I haven't had one in 10 years, and here I am. I got a job, and now I'm over the whole state of Texas. So it allowed me to really travel through the state of Texas and talk to people within our community for their concerns, really kind of talking to people about what true conservatism really is, why I was a conservative, why I believed and why I voted the way I voted, considering that I had come from a background, you know, Democrat background. And so anyway, so there goes my story. My story just kind of evolved, and I worked for the Republican Party of Texas for almost 2 years. And then I went and worked for the Faith and Freedom Coalition, and I was a state director for them. I worked with a lot of the Hispanic evangelicals in the state of Texas, and so got very, very involved with the churches and the pastors, and that's been, I think, the most rewarding thing for me in this whole movement, is really getting connected with the body of Christ. So that's just led me to all that. Now, Latinos for Trump, you know, was a movement, but in 2018, you know, while I was still at the party, you know, I learning all the ins and outs and things. And one of the things that I told, you know, a lot of the leaders in our movement was, we want to be legitimate and we want to have a seat at the table. We want to really make a change. We can't just be a Facebook page in a movement. You know, we gotta legitimize ourselves, and so we did. So we filed for a nonprofit organization, out of the state of Texas, and so we filed to open up a PAC so that we could be political within the PAC. But the nonprofit organization, even though it holds the Trump name in it, it's really more than. It's not about, you know, pushing elected officials. It's not about, you know, hey, Trump. It's really more of a lot of community service. So we have, you know, focused on voter registration, education, conferences. You know, we do help campaigns out, but obviously not with our Latinos Trump brand. We help with our Latinos for the President PAC. But we also, one of the things that we do is, of course, we do a lot for law enforcement. We do a lot for the Hispanic evangelicals. We do a lot for our Border Patrol agents. You know, we did a Border Patrol appreciation where we went and fed 1,000 Border Patrol agents along the Texas border in three different cities. And so we raised the money and went and, you know, made sure that we could do an appreciation day for them when they were most under scrutiny and the morale was down and the caravans were coming in and they were under extreme stress and, you know, really going and listening to their concerns, why they were the proponents to endorse the president from the very get-go and advocating for the wall and understanding why that wall is so important. And it's not because, oh, we just want to be mean and keep people out. That's not the point. So the Border Patrol agents gave us a whole perspective of what they deal with, you know, coming across the border. And it's not what the media portrays of, oh, just poor people trying to find somewhere to go. No, it's more than that. It's human trafficking. It's, the rape that occurs, you know, of women when and young ones at that. The people that died trying to get here because, you know, they're out in the middle of nowhere. The drugs. The cartels, human trafficking really is one of their biggest concerns. And honestly, they've told us that 70% of the people that were coming across the border were not even from Mexico or from Latin America. 70% are from other countries. So they were seeing Chinese, Muslims and coming in. And so Muslims were paying about $30,000 to the coyotes to get into the country. So if you think about it, if it's really somebody trying to seek asylum, they're poor, they're running for their life. I'm sorry, but poor people don't run around with $30,000 and pay a coyote to get them into the country. That just doesn't happen. So there's just a lot of things that, you know, that have we just got active, and from there we just grew. We've become a big, huge presence, not just, you know, within social media, but within our communities and within the country. And so we've grown, we have chapters, we have leaders everywhere. You know, everybody is kind of just, we're a unique group that I think I'm just very honored and privileged to lead the group, you know, but I let them be who they are. You know, I don't tell them that we're politically correct. We don't run around and, you know, dot our I's and cross our T's because we're worried about what people are going to think about us. We are who we are. You know, we're proud of who we are. We don't make, we don't, you know, apologize for it. And so, you know, but we still are compassionate. We do care about our country.
Yes. For those that are tuning in, this is U.S. National Politics. I'm your host, Chauncey Brown. We are honored and blessed to have in the studio President of Latinos for Trump Organization, Bianca Garcia, in the studio. And I also want to note that you are well-versed in the issues, and I also want to note for my audience that you are also the communications director for U.S. congressional candidate, GOP nominee, Jamie Blanco, that's running out of Texas, I believe, 29th congressional district. So I did want to note that.
Yes,
because that's why you are very versed on the issues that is transpiring in Texas. Now, also, I just want to digress for a second because you're also a part of the advisory board of Blexit for Texas. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, so it's very interesting how God has really opened up doors all over the place. You know, I'm not trying to take on these positions. They kind of just come in. They're just like, please help us out. But, you know, it's been an honor and it's amazing to do that. So I will tell you a little bit about Blexit before I tell you about Jamie's campaign. So Blexit, I am now actually, Chauncey, I'm not the advisor anymore. I'm actually the Texas state director for the chapter here in Texas. So I've taken on that role. Well, thank you very much. I've taken on that role to help Candace and the national Blexit team build a strong team here in Texas because, you know, they see what I've done with Latinos for Trump. So they're like, they know that my name kind of, you know, they're like, hey, you can get things done. And so, you know, I told them, I was like, I'll build you a strong team. And then I want to go right back into my advisory role because that's really where I serve best. But right now that's what I'm doing is building the team. So we had gone in through a couple of transitions and as an advisor, you know, I've been kind of trying to, I've advised, I think we've gone through three state directors and it just didn't, it didn't fit or it wasn't that anything was wrong. It's the, you know, the role was more than what they expected or, you know, one, their job just got really busy after COVID, so they just could not dedicate the time. And so we just have gone through a transition, but I've pretty much filled every spot except our media director. I still need a media director in the state of Texas. But that's where my role's at right now. I kind of, you know, I laugh about it. And everybody doesn't seem to think it's a big deal, but for me, you know, I guess it's the my programming of my brain, and I'm like, you do realize I'm Hispanic, guys. I mean, you know, I can't. You're asking me to speak on the issues of, you know, our black friends. I mean, and so, but you know, to them, it's like, well, we don't. I mean, even though we're Blexit, but we don't see color, and you know, and I'm just like, that's what's amazing. It's so amazing. But I'm not going to pretend to know exactly what the black community goes through. But I do know that it's very similar to what the Hispanic community goes through. So I'm well-versed with the fact that it's not very much different. There are some differences, but it's not different. At the end of the day, we all have been lied to, deceived, and, you know, played by the Democrat Party. And so,
yes.
You know, I love Blexit because Blexit, what we are trying to teach people is not to leave just not to just run as Candace Owens says, run from the plantation, you know, walk away from the plantation. It's about being free thinkers, about thinking for yourself, you know, not selling yourself from one plantation to the other. It's just saying, I'm an individual, I can think for myself, and I want to think for myself. I want to make these choices for myself because we're in a free country. And according to the Bible, we have free will. And so, therefore, you know, we are free thinkers. So I really love the fact that that is their main perspective, their goal. Their goal is to teach, you know, their black community to be free thinkers and not, you know, feel that they owe anybody anything or that they need to be under anybody's thumb or they need to be owned by the government or that anything is free, you know, by the government and that people are just going to, you know, pay all their college, pay their rent, pay their bills. That's just not the kind of society we live in, and don't want to. I really am blessed, honestly, to that they really, you know, I guess had faith in me to kind of put this team together and get Texas up and running for them. So that's what I've been working on, and it's been an honor, and I'm really truly enjoying it, and I'm getting to meet some really wonderful people through the Blexit, you know, and you know, it's just great because I can switch my Latinos for Trump hat and wear my Blexit hat, and I just feel like in wherever I step, you know, the organization, I step from one to the other, and it's a family. It's a sense of family. It's a sense of unity. It's a sense of, you know, like-minded people. Do we agree on every single topic or every single thing? No, but at the end of the day, we all agree that we're Americans. We love this country. We love our freedom and liberty. You know, we want the best for our children. And, you know, we don't want government control. We don't want to be regulated by the government. So it's those things that tie us in together, and it's an honor that we don't look at the color of the skin. It's more about, you know, the quality of life, the way we live and how we want to live, and that's what unites us, and that's what's beautiful about this whole movement. So Blexit, like I said, has been an honor, and I learned from all of my peers in Blexit. You know, I learned from them. You know, what the Democratic Party has done to their you know, communities by, you know, just recently they, not Blexit, but people of Blexit, Brandon Tatum, one of the co-founders, very dear friend of mine, Brandon was in that documentary with Colonel West, another good friend of mine.
Uncle Tom.
And I just watched that. We downloaded it this weekend, and my family, you know, I said, we're going to watch this film. And, you know, my little one was like, oh, I don't want to watch this. This is politics. I said, it's not politics. It's history. And he actually learned a lot in, you know, and mind you, I mean, my kids are homeschooled, so they are learning the correct history. But he learned that perspective. You know, my kids are Hispanic, but to think about what the Black community has gone through and how the Democrats took the father out of the home. And how, you know, at one point in time, the Black community was very, very strong as a family unit.
Yes.
Well, if there's one thing that holds a Hispanic family or the Hispanic community is that we are family-oriented. That is extremely, you know, even though that, yes, there is not, you know, there's still that trend within the Hispanic community where, you know, there is single moms. But for the most part, the nucleus of the Hispanic community is a family. It's a family. It's an extended family. It's not just, okay, well, it's just my kids and my husband and me. No, it's like grandma, aunts, uncles, you know, all the extended relatives. You know, when we go to gatherings, you know, you can't have a gathering and just, it's like six people, you know. And so just my brothers and sisters alone and their kids, I think we were like, I counted 60-something. There was like 60 of us in the room, in one room, you know, and a get-together. And I said, oh, my God, we're 60 people? I mean, this is like not even – we didn't even invite a friend. This is just my brothers and sisters and their kids and their kids' kids. And that was it. And my mom. And they're like, so you this family, there's a family. And that's the difference that I'm learning now is that – you know, and my Black friends are now going, hey, they're coming after you. And, you know, they're coming after the Hispanic community now. They've done it to our community. You need to armor up because they're coming after you. That's why they're so about this DACA. They're so about amnesty, citizenship, illegals. They do that because they're after your families. And so it's really a great awakening because I get to learn that from my peers. And see, you know, this is what you've done. This is what they've done to your, you know, family unit. This is what they've done to y'all. So, hey, you know, I get to come and tell, you know, all our Latinos and our Hispanics in our Hispanic family and being like, hey, this is what, you know, we got to wake up here. We got to get together. We got to get right. We got to start talking about things that are maybe not popular. We don't want to talk about, but we got to talk about them. And so, So that's kind of where we're at with that. Now,
Bianca,
on Jamie Blanco. Yes, go ahead, Chauncey.
Bianca, we only have about a minute or two left. Unfortunately, we're out of time.
Okay.
I'm going to have you back on the show. I believe Jamie's going to be on this week or next week. But I would like to have
mm-hmm.
you back on to talk about Jamie running for Congress. And I also
yes.
want to break down the movement of what you're doing and how, as a radio host, I can help you to push your agenda to get the word out, to raise a level of consciousness, to get people to come out and vote, to talk about different issues. So if you want to use my platform again, it's more than available to you that you can come on here and I can help you to push this movement so we can have a red wave in 2020. But before we
awesome.
Close, please share with the audience, if they'd like to get a hold of you, your websites or your Facebook pages, and then also you can give a
yes.
little footnote there for Jamie at the end.
Yes. So, Chauncey, I can, anybody who wants to know a little bit more about our Latinos Trump, it's latinostrump.us. You can find us, there's no www, it's just latinostrump.us. You can also find us at officiallatinosfortrump.com. I can be reached at president@latinosfortrump.us is my email, or you can find me on all social media platforms at Bianca for Texas. That is my handle on Parler, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram is at Bianca for Texas. So there are ways to find me. And yes, I would love the opportunity to come back and to speak about Jamie's
Please.
Race. I think it's a very important one, and we are going to need all the help that we can get for that.
Jamie, I'm calling you Jamie now. Bianca, thank you so much. thank you so much for coming
thank
on the
you,
show. And I really
you.
Want to say thank
no,
you.
No, thank you so much.
For standing up for the American people. We need more people like you in this country to help fight back. And so I'm very proud of
Thank
what
you,
you're
Chauncey.
Doing and what you're doing for Jamie. And I'm looking forward to having you back on the show because you do have a lot of information to share with the American people. And they need to hear people like yourself speaking truth to power. So thank you so much for coming
Amen.
On the show. And God bless you and your family.
Anytime. God bless you and God bless your audience. Thank you so much. Just reach out to me and we can definitely schedule me coming back on. Thank you, Chauncey, for the opportunity.
You're welcome. God bless you. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
For those that are tuning in, we are just honored and blessed to have in the studio Bianca Garcia, president of Latinos for Trump. She's also on the advisory for Blexit. Please join us next week on U.S. National Politics. We will have in the studio, and I'm really short on getting this in before the time, we're going to have Earl Weber, GOP nominee for Congress out of the California District 37 on the 6th at 4 o'clock. Once again, you can follow U.S. National Politics on Twitter at U.S. Politics Today, also on Facebook at U.S. National Politics. I'm your host, Chauncey Brown, Right Talk host on Twitter, Right Talk radio host on Facebook. We want to thank all of our listeners for tuning in. We want to thank you for your support. Please stay safe, and may God keep you all safe and at peace. God bless you all until next time.